I like to do what I can with what I've got, and I like to do things as a brotherhood. And if I have something, I like to put it to work for God. And like I was telling Betty the other day, and I've told her this so many times and the brethren, if I'm not going to do anything for God with what I've got, I'll have to sell it. I'll have to give it away. I'll have to get rid of it. I don't want it. If I can't use it for God, I don't want it. It's a burden to me. It's a weight to me. It bothers me. But if I can use it for God, then that's fine. Let me use my life for God. Let me use my strength for God, my eyes, my ears. Let me use everything that about me for God. Let me use my finance for God, time for God. If I'm going to talk, let me talk for God. Whatever I do, let me do it all for God. The Bible said, do all things as unto the Lord. And when you do it all as unto the Lord, that's fine. But other than that, to me, everything's a waste of time. Maybe you don't judge like I do. Maybe you do. But I judge like this, that if you talk, your life away, you haven't done anything. If you spend your life getting an education and study your life away until you're the most brilliant person that ever lived, you don't amount to anything. You're just good to throw in a hole for the worms to eat you. You really haven't done anything. I mean, what's that? You know, if you marry a wife and live with her all of your life, you're nothing, she's nothing either. All of you, along with the children, they throw in the grave, you know, and feed you to the worms. You really don't amount to a hill of beans. If you think you look good or you look bad, or if you're fat, if you're skinny or whatever, you know, if you got long hair or short hair, if you've got a fancy physique or whatever you think you look like, it don't amount to anything. And the worms go to take a bite, they don't care whether your nose is long or short or whatever, you know, it doesn't matter to them. And so whatever you are, you'll taste the same to the worms. And you and the children and the wife and all of you all go to the worms, and all of your money's left to the fool, or your wealth or whatever. Somebody says, well, I'm leaving my wealth to my children. Well, that's fine. Then they can go to the worms and leave it to their children. Then they can go to the worms and leave it to their children. Then when they go to the worms, they can leave it to their children. And after a while, whatever, you know. Grand folks, if they don't have any children, they can leave it to their cousins or the neighbors or somebody, you know. Maybe the government will get it. Somebody will get it. They'll do something with it till they go to the worms. So really, when you do all that you've done and buy all that you can buy and get all you can get and do all you can do, you're just worm bait, that's all. So that ought to make you happy to know how great you are. But it's not so with us children of God. We're going to live forever on everything. We're never going to die. We're going to be eternal, eternally strong, eternally youthful, eternally alive, eternally wise. We're going to have all the gold and all the silver and all the pearls and all the diamonds. Even the city where we dwell, the streets are going to be paved out of gold, and the gates will be hung out of pearls, and the walls out of jasper. And what a beautiful, beautiful place. Eternally, we'll be there to live and enjoy life. So as long as we live to enjoy life, so will the others be tormented in the everlasting fire. Once the worms eat them here, then they'll be brought back up and pieced back together, be thrown into the fire. You know, this body is a prison. You give all of your life to it, your spirit becomes imprisoned to it, and your interbeing, as to your angelic being on the inside, becomes subject to it. You submit your spirit to this human form of five senses, and then the five senses, after having subjected your inner being, imprisons it and keeps it forever. And then, once it has thoroughly woven a web about your inner man, then this body of death, God will take it along with your inner being, cast it into a lake of fire, and there, by means of these human senses, your inner being will be tormented in everlasting flames. You'll never get loose from this old body of death. But we've already escaped this body of death through Christ, this old bastard child image, and we've buried it. It's gone, it's dead, and as we've borne the image of the earthly, even that in Adam has all died, we will bear the image of the heavenly. In that there is a corruptible body, there is an incorruptible body, there is a terrestrial body, there is a spiritual body, And as we have borne the earthly, we will bear the heavenly. As to the second man, Adam, as to the celestial. And we won't be bothered with the human senses as to the gravitational powers and the forces that binds us to that which the creature is made subject to. And the Bible said that the creature is subject to vanity, God having subjected the same in hope. So we find ourselves free from this old bodily prison. But those that do not serve God will never be free from this bodily prison. So you pamper the face and the body and you go ahead and take care of it and lay up for it and all the things that you want to do, because you're going to be a prisoner of it for the rest of eternity and be put into everlasting flames. It's going to be your entombment. And through it, you're going to be tormented because it's the bastard image of that old fallen one. And it's going to hold your spirit to torture and torment by means of your human senses. When hell releases you, should you go before the lake of fire, it'll just turn you loose long enough to pass from hell into the lake of fire. But not so with us as we serve the Lord. How wonderful it is to be a Christian. So wonderful it is. Let's read from chapter 8 in the book of Romans. We've read this to you many times, but I go back to this because there's great understanding and great revelation in this, and I desire that my people understand these things. These are the things that during my lifetime, in my early ministry, I didn't understand, and I couldn't find anybody that ever taught them. I never have found anybody in my entire lifetime that's ever taught them. And it always bothered me. But when I came to understand them, I've tried to teach them down through the years. And more and more I'm finding as we go on that people are beginning to open their hearts up to them and their minds to them. And even the ministry is beginning to get into them some. And this, of course, thrills my heart. Paul's teachings are so outstanding. Paul being the great revelator, John being a revelator. People somehow just never did seem to get into the spirit of revelation. But here at the time of the change and of the rapture, as we call it, it looks like people are getting into this more. Because the way that you're going to be translated is by the Spirit. And if you don't get into the Spirit, then there's no translation. And the way you get translated is by getting into the Spirit. So then if you read the Bible or if you hear the Bible as to the word being preached and you don't get the revelation of it, then you didn't get translated. But the fact that you got the revelation means you got translated, because that is the translation as to the revelation of the understanding of the word of the Lord. Now, we're glad to have you here. Appreciate you coming to be with us, Jared. Our brother Gerald coming over. I see his wife and little one back there. We appreciate them being with us. And if you're here, we don't see you. If we don't recognize you or acknowledge you, it's not because we don't want you here. We're more than delighted to have you with us. Sometimes we just don't see you, or we don't recognize you or whatever. We know that you come, but sometimes I just don't recognize you, or perhaps I don't see you until the end of the service. Sometimes I don't recognize you at all. Somebody's sitting here with Jenny. Is it? I think that's Jenny sitting there. Your granddaughter? Well, we're certainly glad to have her here. Which granddaughter is this? Lori's daughter? All right. We're glad to have her. I saw her come in, but I didn't recognize her. These lights are so blurry. It's kind of makes it so blurry. It's hard for me to see up here real good. But we're certainly glad to have June and Jenny's granddaughter here with us. All right, is anybody else here this morning that hasn't been with us even as of late? All right, let's give the Lord a hand for these people, can you? Bill's home. He runs in about once a month. And I think one of these days he's going to slow down, because maybe Sister Mary's going to get a ring in his ears or something. I told him yesterday and kind of slow him down some. He's got, would you say, it'd be about another month once you get often 4 weeks. All right, they've moved up to be with us. I thought till he told me it'd be another month before he got back. But anyway, we was together yesterday talking some, and try and get my motorhome straightened out and be always driving it. I'd be kind of rough. Didn't go in a whole month. Let's read from chapter 8, the book of Romans, beginning at the first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Right there now. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, a lot of times I try to preach to you. Sometimes I try to teach you. I have a lot of people that ask me to teach, even going back to the board. I have taught some from the board. Paul said, I'm a preacher and a teacher. And it was said of Jesus, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher. And the Bible said, go in all the world, preach the gospel, and it said, teaching them. But to be able to instruct you unto life, that's the main thing. See, we don't come here just to come to church to clear our conscience so we can go out and do more sin or feel better. But Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you are life. Now, if I'm looking for life, then that means I've got to find it. If I don't find it, then I don't have life. I go to the table and I'm looking for life. I eat the bread, I drink, I take the substance of life. I enjoy eating and drinking, but that's not why I eat and drink. I eat and drink to stay alive. If I didn't eat and drink, I wouldn't stay alive. See, you have to eat and drink to stay alive, isn't that right? So then I eat and drink to stay alive. And that's why we come to church, not just to shout, to feel good, or to get rid of the burden, but we eat and drink to stay alive. Jesus said, if you don't eat my flesh and you don't drink my blood, you don't have any life in you. So we eat and we drink to stay alive. I eat his flesh and I drink his blood so that I can stay alive. I want to stay alive, not just for a little while, but I want to stay alive eternally. This is eternal life. If I eat natural substance, temporal substance, then I live temporally. But if I eat eternal substance, then I am eternal. Scientists say, whatever you eat, that's what you are. So these words are eternal. These are words of life. So Jesus said, my words are spirit, and they are life. Anything in the world that's temporal, that passes away. But there are things that are eternal. And I like to think on things that are eternal. I like to put my mind and heart on things that are eternal. I like to think on things eternal, meditate on things eternal. I like to go after things that are eternal. It's wonderful to have a house, have a car, money, all these kind of things. You know, somebody down in Florida recently, they won a few million dollars. And you can imagine what that makes a person feel like. No more bills, don't have to work, millions of dollars. You know, just money, money, money. Now, that's all I think about is money. And that's great. Who wouldn't like to have millions of dollars, you know? Just think, man, I can go to Hawaii, I can go here, I can do this, I can buy that. All these things, but when you get through with all that, what is it? You know, you've done all those things. And I've done all those things. And when you get through with it, what is it? You're just tired. You know, it didn't amount to a hill of beans. When you buy it, didn't amount to a hill of beans. When you spend it, didn't amount to a hill of beans. When you had everything you want, don't amount to a hill of beans. It's not anything. It really ain't nothing. And still, are you going to heaven? Are you going to live? Are you going to go to hell? That's the thing that's important. That is important as to whether you have spirit and life. Now, if you have God and you have spirit and you have life and then you have money, that's fine. Because you know what to do with money. You can give to the poor. You can give to the needy. You can travel around the world and you can share with the poor and you can help like Brother Jerry, Brother Owens, and some of the others that's traveled with us. God bless them with a lot of finance. They've gone down the streets of India and Africa and different places and they'd find a little hungry baby or a hungry mother and deep in Mexico and other places and they'd share finance and they'd give to them, and I've seen their eyes light up and tears run down their cheeks. Now, to me, that's living. That's really living. You know, but all this stuff of garbage, just going out eating and drinking and getting fat and developing ulcers and heart trouble, you know, and you're just becoming a dung heel. I don't see that. There ain't nothing to that. And you buy one junker and, you know, you set it here and you bought another and you bought another and you want more land and more houses. And you just get to be, you get in a rut. You get in a rut, and then Jesus calls you a swine. You're just an old hog wallowing in the mire, just buying and selling, buying and selling. Just an old dog with the vomit. He said you just vomit up and left you vomiting. You're just in a rut. That's all you do. Or sitting in front of a television show, you know, and you they got some fiction out here, and then you see that, and the next thing you know, you got another painted face of a Jezebel over here, or some man over here, you know, a glamour boy, and you're done swallowing him down. You're eating this up, and then you're like an old pig, just gullibly all the time, going through that mess all the time, or some magazine stuck in front of your face, or some fictionist of science, or whatever it might be. It's just foolishness. It's foolishness. I was coming down the road, I believe it was yesterday, and I saw this big sign that says attack dogs. I looked up at that thing and I said, Betty, I said, my lands, I said, you know, even our children, our little bitty children on a greater level than that, to stick some mess up there like that. Even our little bitty children got more sense than that. They live on a higher level than that. And I don't mean that sacrilegious. I don't mean that critically. Somebody said, oh, you're just an old critic. I guess if that's what being a critic is, I'm an old critic, you know. But I'm not being critical, Brother Dale. I just call that using good sense, you know. I'd rather my kids read the comic book and that's bad enough, you know. Like I said the other day, some Pentecostal fellow, he's up preaching, and he says, you know, you ladies ought to be careful out there with your sports. And I'm talking about Jesus' name preaching now. He says, you ought to be careful out there with your sports, playing kula and kulaks out there. And you men ought to be careful, you know, as to what you put on when you go out there in your sports. I thought, my God, blind guides that strain at a net and swallow a camel. What difference does it matter? I said the other day, if you had a croquet sack on your head, if you're out there messing with balls and games and all this other kind of thing, you're out there with the devil's tools and you're out there with the devil's kids and you're out there in the devil's thing and with the love of the world. What difference does it matter whether you got kulaks or shorts or whatever? It don't make no difference. You know, you're going to hell anyway. But I just thought, how can this thing be? Hundreds of thousands of people that are supposed to be God-fearing people, supposed to have the love of God, are pouring out to attack the dogs or the beetles or the yellow jackets or the devils or red devils or whatever they are, you know. And I thought, my God, how little are we in our minds, folks, to run after those things and go whoring after the things of the world and then go back and sing the songs of Zion and testify to the fact that we're ready for the translation. Couldn't you just imagine me sitting over there hollering, attack dogs? And Brother Taylor comes up and Brother Taylor says, the rapture's fixed to take place. And I said, I'm ready. Couldn't you imagine something like that? Somebody said, I'd never do that in 100 years. I sit at home and watch mine on television. Let's give the Lord a hand. You love the Lord? I tell you, folks, I believe this thing, I believe it's got to be the right way, and it's going to have to be in here. If you don't have faith in here, you ain't going to make it. The Bible says the righteous scarcely be saved. Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And if you regard iniquity in your heart, then God isn't going to hear you. So then I feel that we're going to have God in our heart. And you're not going to sit under a television set and watch those non-virtuous things, pick up a newspaper and read those non-virtuous things, turn to magazines and pictures and books and whatever it is, read those non-virtuous things and listen to conversations and jokes and all these kind of things and gossip and backbiting. Frolic around, just riding from place to place and strolling through stores and looking at all the filth and everything they got in stores and all these non-virtuous things, you are not going to be able to do that and keep your mind stayed upon Christ Jesus and meditate in His laws day and night, casting down every thought and imagination and bringing every thought into obedience to Jesus Christ. You're not going to be able to do that and keep your mind mind on God. You can't do that. There ain't no way in the world you can do that. There's no way you can do that. All right. So there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, if I ask the question, who do we have here that's in Christ Jesus, I'd have numbers of hands that would go up. But it goes on to say, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, that would be a different situation. It said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now listen real close to this verse. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When did Eve die? The Lord said, the day that thou eatest thou shalt surely die. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. When did Eve die? Read this next verse. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Wasn't it when Eve became carnally minded that she died? Wasn't it taking something into her mind that killed her? Wasn't it her thoughts? Wasn't it her thoughts that killed her? And hasn't it been that ever since she thought like that, that all of her children died, that his and Adam all die? Just as soon as Adam began to think like that, didn't he die too? And isn't it so today that it's still the same way to be carnally minded? It said, but they that are after the flesh do mind, that is, their mind is on the things of the world. They mind the things of the flesh, or that is, their thoughts are of the flesh, or they think on the things of the flesh. Now let's just take a thought or two. A lot of folks don't like for you to enumerate things. You ever notice that? They don't like that. Now if you don't mention anything, it's all right. They say, good preaching. That's what the Bible says. Let's go on, Brother Pike. But let's just stop for a few minutes. I like to do it this way. Now let's enumerate a few things right here. Is it all right? All right, gossiping. Number one, is that of the Spirit? It really is of the Spirit. But what kind of spirit is it of? But it says it's the spirit of the devil. All right, so then gossiping. What about backbiting? What does the Bible say? He that backbiteth with his tongue shall not stand in the holy hill of God. What about lust of the eyes? The pride of life. Somebody said, well, I'm proud. What about a little lipstick? It's lipstick of the Spirit. Now we're just talking about the things of the Spirit. Don't feel bad. It's lipstick of the Spirit. And I said, well, eating ain't of the Spirit either. Well, I don't know. Jesus raised a girl from the dead and said, give her something to eat. He was the Spirit incarnate. The angel come down and fixed something for Elijah to eat. So, well, having a wife and a husband, and well, the Bible said multiply and replenish the earth. That's the Bible. Anything else you got, we'll just discuss it. Is lipstick, does that have anything to do with Spirit? Does it? Painting your eyes like a lizard? Does it? When the Bible speaks of a woman not wearing anything that appertains to a man, I know the Old Testament is pointing toward a woman taking authority in these kind of things. Spiritually speaking, it was pointing to her that she should submit herself, that she should be shamefaced. In the old country, the women still wear the veils because it indicates over there that the veil has never been rent. Over here, the veil has been rent. The woman, she shows her face as to indicate the beauty of the church being shown, because we're over here as to the bride. The veil is now rent in twain. And the man sees his wife as she is. Over there, they still wear the veils. But just recently, the rebuke, was it in Arabia? One of the women went out there in a t-shirt, and the men wouldn't even have anything to do with her. One of the women, you know, she said, "I'm a soldier." They left her. They wouldn't even get around her. She was like poison ivy. They said, "We're not even going out there. That woman's going to be out there. You got to get her out from out there. We're soldiers. We don't want her out there." And she was all insulted. But they had to get her out. Get away from there. When I got ready to drink beer, said they wouldn't drink the beer. Said they finally sent some beer over there without alcohol. And then they drank it. I'm talking about them bad folks over there and these good folks over here in America. Let's give the Lord a hand. Talking about them heathens we're supposed to go preach to. All right. So then, sitting around gazing at a television set with all this Hollywood fiction, all of this foolishness on a plane, they just about drive me crazy with that stuff. 3 hours, 2 hours, they turn the thing on, and you can't get away from it. There you are, your head's down like this for 2 solid hours, or you try to sleep over here, you know, or you over this way. And if you ever raise up, you know, 30 minutes you're sitting there, and you can't hear it. Sometimes you can hear it. Sometimes you can't. I got earphones. And then you forget and you raise up. And then it's just like somebody spit in your eyes, you know. Is that of God, all that filth? Is that of the spirit or is that of the world? These things that you hear on the radio, all these things. But so ungodly, so worldly. All those worldly thoughts. When the Bible said every thought is to be brought into subjection. Somebody said, "Well, Brother Pike, I can look at all them things and I can hear all them things." I do that all the time. I read the baseball score and them things just don't faze me. I'm different from everybody else. That's true. You are different from everybody else that's a Christian. It doesn't bother you because you're of the devil. You've already seared your conscience and nothing don't bother you. You lap your vomit and you eat with the pigs and you wallow in the mire. It don't bother you because you're dead. And some of you twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Preach a little bit while we're teaching. You tell me that don't bother you when the Bible said Lot down in Sodom and Gomorrah was vexed day by day by their evil conversation. Folks, let me tell you something. You can't even live in this world. Just live in it. And live here without being vexed. If you got Christianity, you can't even live in this world without being vexed. If you can go around with a grin from ear to ear and go in and out these places and be happy and not be vexed, you're of the devil. You don't have God. You don't even know nothing about God. It's no wonder the Bible said Jesus was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. If you can work in a rat hole and smell that stench and go around with a grin all the time and say, "This don't bother me," it's because you're a rat. If you can live in a hog pen and go around with a grin and never get sick, it's because you're a hog. Boy, I'll tell you what, this ain't sitting well at all. Not at all. Somebody says, "Well, bless God, I believe you can live with the hogs and just be happy." I believe you can live with the hogs and get sick. Let's give the Lord a hand. Me and your believing's altogether different. All right. Somebody says, "Well, I think God would undertake for you." Well, I don't think God would. If you move in with the hogs, I don't think he'll undertake for you at all. And if you move in with the devils, I don't think he'll undertake for you either. Let's give him another. If somebody throws you in the hog pen, you can't get out. You're standing there with a gun on you, won't let you out. Then I think the Lord will undertake for you. Let's give the Lord a hand. If you're forced to live in a rat hole for God, I think the Lord will undertake for you. I think you'll be all right. All right. So, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be a Christian. Somebody said, well, that's what I figured, Brother Pike. We're supposed to go in these places and act like Christ. No, we're supposed to act like Christ and stay out of these places. Let's give the Lord a hand. Love the Lord. The Bible said, shun the very appearance of evil. Somebody said, well, I felt like we're supposed to be like Christ and not let these things bother us when we look at all these things. We're supposed to be like Christ and not look at all these things. Stay away from all these things. Get them out of our house. Turn away from them. Not mess with these kind of things. So then they that are of the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. They've got the things of the Spirit on their mind. They meditate in the Spirit. They think on the things of the Spirit. Did you know I found out something, folks? I found this for a fact. And that is that I can just think on natural things. I don't have to do anything but just think on natural things. I can just start thinking on automobiles, just get my mind on them. Maybe talk to you or talk to anybody. And I can get my mind on automobiles just for a little while. It's all right if I talk about automobiles for just a little bit. I talk about it like I got a starter that needs fixing or I got something that I got to do out here. And that's all right. It doesn't bother me. But if I get automobiles on my mind for a few minutes, all of a sudden I can feel devils. It'll start crowding my mind and that thing will literally vex the life out of me. I can do that with houses. I can do that with land. I can do that with money. I can do that with anything. It doesn't matter what it is. And I literally get vexed until I can't hardly stand it. I'll find myself almost screaming. And I'll hear the Lord say, why did you do it? I'll hear him so plainly speak to me. He'll say, why did you think on it? You knew better than to think on it. And I'll think like this and I'll say, well, my God, people go out there, Lord, and they're feeding out the hog pens. How in the world do they do that? When I just think on something that there's nothing wrong with, so far as anything being dirty about it, but because it's natural, because it's carnal, it's vexing to my spirit. And it gives place to a devil, and a devil will come in and harass my mind. And the Lord will say, to whom much is given, much is required. Every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And I have to be careful what I look at and the way I look and every thought and the way I think. And I see people doing all kinds of things. Natural things, they do all kinds of things. They get by with it. And I think, well, Lord, why is that? And the Lord says, because they're children. Children do all kinds of things. They get by with it. But couldn't you picture a dad spending his day all day long pulling a little red wagon around? Or a mother sitting out there in the middle of a mud hole making patty cakes out of mud, you know? You can't do those things. You know, life will not stay in your heart from God when you do those things that you know better than to do. As you mature in God, as you grow on in God, you're going to have to mind heavenly things. You're going to have to get more like Jesus and more like Christ. And you're going to have to get away from money and get away from business and get away from all of those things of the world. Because if you don't, you're going to let devils and demons come in on you. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, it don't affect me like that. No, that isn't what it is, folks. It did affect you like that, but you've dwarfed yourself in God, and to make your goal in life or to do your thing in life, you pressed over your feelings and you went on when that vexation come in. You said, oh, this is just me, and it ain't like that at all. And you've left that tenderness of God and you pressed on over that and you've left your first love and you've hardened yourself to that extent, and that's why you didn't groan in the revelation of the Lord Jesus. And that's why you didn't go on and ascend into those wonderful high places that God had set for you to where you could have had that wonderful understanding and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. You're going to have to change your way of life. We're moving toward the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. And we're moving toward the understanding of Almighty God, and we are to become one with Him. We're bone of His bone, and we're flesh of His flesh. And we're to become more like Him every day of our life until every thought is brought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And you'll get to the place to where you can't do anything but think like Jesus and talk like Jesus and be like Jesus. Somebody says, oh, Brother Pike, you'll lose your mind. I know you will. And it's a good thing that you can. It's a good thing that you can, because if you couldn't, you could never be like the Lord Jesus. The one thing that you've got to do is lose the mind of man to get like Christ. The one thing that was different between the Lord Jesus and mankind is that he was not of mankind. He was altogether different from mankind. Mankind was of another world. Mankind was of Adam, and all of them in Adam died because of their mind, of their carnal mind. But Jesus was another blood cell. Jesus was another generation. Jesus was the beginning of life. And to get into this world is to get into his mind. And to get in his mind is to be transformated and transfigured, translated into another world altogether. And to get into that mind is to transcend this world. And if you can't get into that mind, you don't get into his world. So the only thing you can do is lose your mind until every thought of your mind is eradicated. And the only thing that you use your mind for in this world as to that which is necessitated to life, or that which is commanded of God, or a biblical right as to that that he has set in order as to the transitions of life. Otherwise, you don't want to mess with it. Unless you don't want to go on to the full measure of the full stature. Unless you don't want to go on to the full reward in Christ Jesus. So then that's why the apostles left everything like they did, walked off and left it. And that's why they asked the Lord, said, and since we've left everything, what do we get? And he said, when I sit upon my throne, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones beside me, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. As I've forsaken, and I sit upon a throne, ye have forsaken, so ye shall sit upon a throne also. So then if we're going on with God and we're going to be one with God, then that means that we've got to get away from the things of the world. We've got to leave the dogs and the devils and the yeller jackets and all these things alone. We've got to leave those non-virtuous things alone on TV. We've got to get our minds off of business and off of making money and the conveniences of life, and stop trying to lay up for this life, and take everything that we've got, our substance, our life, our wife, our children, and everything that we've got, and lay it on the line for God. And we've got to put our strength out there, and we've got to get, if our wife is the right kind of wife, get her by the hand and say, look, honey, we're one. And get in there and do everything we can for God. If she's the right kind of wife, she'll get in there with you. She'll get in there with you. She'll go with you wherever you want to go and do whatever you want to do. If you'll walk right, if she's the right kind of wife, she'll get in there, she'll forsake her house, she'll forsake land, she'll forsake everything, she'll forsake her relatives, she'll forsake her ideas, and she'll get in there and she'll be one with you, and wherever you want to go and whatever you want to do, she'll go with you. And if she doesn't do it, she's not straight. She's not the right kind of wife. I guarantee that she's not the right kind of wife. So then she'll get in with you and she'll go with you, because that's what's required of a wife. And that is a wife. And if she doesn't do it, she's not one with you. She's not the right kind of wife. So then just get her by the hand and say, look, it's just Jesus and me and you. And you're one with me, and wherever I go, you've got to be there. You know, and whatever I do, that's what you've got to do. And that's what we're going to do. And we're going to do this thing for God, and we're going to do it right, and we're going to stay there with it until that thing is finished. And don't be trying to add nothing or take away anything. Now, I have no complaints as to what you want to do. I'm just telling you this. The Bible said, they that belong to God, that they mind the things of God. They keep the things of God on their mind all the time. They think about these wonderful things of God, and they meditate in his laws day and night. All day long, they're thinking about the things of God. And this is what makes them happy. Did you know a happy Christian is a Christian that thinks about the things of God, always thinking about the things of God, and they'll be rich in the Word of God, and they'll be rich in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Always, always, they're just abounding in the things of God, and every time you meet them, there's just something on the inside like a fountain that's just spewing, and they're always full of the revelation and the knowledge of Jesus, and they've always got a vision, and God is right there with them. Doesn't matter what happens, He's always right there with them. Everything that takes place in their life, He's right there with them to take care of them and to watch over them. That's God. So then there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The devil might try to bring condemnation to your heart. He might try to make you feel under condemnation. But there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Why should I condemn myself when there is no condemnation to me? The gates of hell, as I said the other night, cannot prevail against this. And upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When it says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, that means that hell hath enlarged itself for to meet thee at thy coming as to the wicked, but it shall not prevail against me, nor against you as the church. That is to say that a Christian shall never go to hell. The fears of hell have no power over a Christian. There'll never be a Christian that'll ever go to hell. Hell will never take a Christian into it. It cannot prevail against the church or against a Christian, because no Christians will ever go to hell. Jesus went there for us. So then we're free from the flames of the fire. The gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. So I'm free from all those things, and you're free from all those things. So there's no condemnation within us. We're free from all the condemnations of the world. So we can say that God is our helper. That makes us happy. That makes us full of joy. We're never going to die. There's no condemnation to us. No one can lay anything to our charge. So we rejoice in the Lord. We go on our way rejoicing, praising the Lord, because we're free from death, free from sickness, free from condemnation, free from poverty, free from the things that would harass, tear us down, that would bring us under condemnation. I like being free from death, don't you? I like being free from sickness too, don't you? I like being free from poverty too, don't you? I like that. I would above all things that you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. So then I like these kind of things. I like the idea of living forever. All of my problems went away when I learned I could live forever. I like the idea of never dying. Thinking about never dying. Somebody said, well, you know, you've got to die. Brother Pike, you've got to be reasonable about this thing now. You realize that you've got to die. God says you're never going to die, but really what he means is you've got to die, and then after that you'll never die. No, that wasn't what he meant at all. He didn't mean I've got to die, and then after that I'll never die. He meant I'll never die, period. That Jesus died in my place, that ended death, and he abolished death for me, Brother Taylor, and that I will never die. Let's give the Lord a hand. That's what he meant. He said what he meant. He meant what he said. You love the Lord? Somebody say hallelujah. So then I like that. I like that. So then they that are carnally minded, they are dead while they live. They that are spiritually minded, they are alive forevermore. They are alive. So then let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So we are Christians, hath made us equal with himself. Blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, whose sins are forgiven and whose iniquities are covered. Let me say, I thank you for the offering for Brother Mullad over in Israel. We'll probably be going over there before long if the good Lord is willing. You pray for us. He'll be thrilled when he finds out what you sent him. And over there, money's hard to come by, especially in these hard times. And right now, while the oppression is upon him, remember, he's our brother. He loves the Lord. And if we stand by him, God will bless us. Let's everybody stand together now. I just took a few minutes. In the last few services, I've not took very much of your time. Betty, she got upset at me the other night. She didn't really get upset at me, but she said something to me. You know, she's my best critic. Wives are your best critics. They say things that other folks wouldn't dare say. All right. You love the Lord? Rick came in yesterday evening, he and his wife and children, coming from Mexico. And the others will be coming in pretty quick now. Joseph, Brother Tony, Brother Pasden, they went by the way of Mexico. Brother John Jameson, the Floyds, they came in a little earlier. And I was glad to see them all come home saved. Now we're just about ready to go again. Brother David Paul's already got his layout from over in Brazil. He received a blueprint the other day from over in Brazil of the perhaps of the building that we may be going to down in Sao Paulo for a crusade. They've been asking us to come down there. I've been into Brazil, all down into South America, but I've never had a crusade in Brazil. We had one in down in Central America, San Pedro Sula, Honduras, and down in South America, Bolivia, but not in Brazil. But we're considering having one maybe in Guatemala and down in Brazil. And I feel like we'll have a great crusade there. Would you pray for us that everything will work out okay? Might get to use our jet going down there. I don't know. A man called yesterday. Said, if you let me have that jet, I'll give you $150,000 cash like that. Said, and I'll just put it in the shop if it needs a little work and spend another $40,000 on it. Said, and I'll be happy. Because I'm sure he would, you know. But unless the Lord spoke to me, I wouldn't even consider $150,000. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Let's sing this chorus together, folks. Sing, I love him. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. So we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in God's book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. Just keep trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in God's book, it is mine. Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. The world seems cold, and your friends seem few. There is someone who cares
for you. If there's tears in your eyes and your heart bleeds inside, there is someone who cares for you. Can you sing that with me? Someone who cares, someone to share all your burdens like no other can do. The altars are open. He'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. He's your friend and he cares for you. Someone to care, someone to share all your burdens like no other can do. He'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. He's your friend and he cares. Love the Lord. The Lord loves you. He's your friend. He wants to help you. Nobody else cares for you. Jesus cares for you. Look all over the world. Everyone will forsake you, mother, daddy, brother, sister, somewhere along the line, wife, daughter, husband. The Bible said that a mother will forsake her suckling babe. They've been known to do it. But he spoke of the nail prints of his hands and he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The angel of the Lord appeared to me when the Lord came to me. Put a ring on my finger. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. The Bible said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So I've engraven you in the palms of my hands that I may never forget you, never forsake you. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? I am tossed on life's sea, and the waves all cover me, and the dark clouds won't let the sunshine through. Can you sing that with me? Seems I hear the voice say, child, there'll be a better day. Don't allow the clouds to hide sweet heaven. Sing it with me, friend. You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more sorrow, one more tear, one more curse. Don't let Satan see your face. Try to smile above
your tears. Hold your head up high and view the world a smile. Just be faithful all the while. It'll be worth it all someday. For it's all gonna be over. You've got one more life, one more hill. Can you sing with me? You've got one more sorrow, one more tear, one more curve in life's road, one more mile to go, when you can lay down your heavy load, when you get home. Sing that chorus again. You've got one more body, one more day. You've got one.
The more I learn to pray.
found thee as the lilies they're blooming by the way. So I thank thee for what that is I walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine, all the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessings. Are there be no need to pray? So I thank thee for the valleys I walk through today. Thank thee for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank thee for every lonely night. I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. Oh, I thank thee for the valleys I walk through today.
Let's give the Lord a hand, can you? Let's sing this little chorus together. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes. And I will praise Him. My heart will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners. I will give Him glory, all He is. For His blood has washed away every sin. Sing it with me, man. And I will praise Him. My will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. I will give Him glory all people, for His blood has washed away every stain. Once again together. And while we're singing, I'm going to ask Brother Lynn Lundebo to come and dismiss us, if he will. Brother Lynn. Can you sing that with me? He will give Him glory all. Can
And you lift your hands up with me.
Oh, oh, His blood.
Don't forget the service tonight. Come back praying. Go out into the highways and hedges. Compel them to come in. Invite somebody into the house of God. Can you do that? Invite somebody in. Tell them to come and be with us. Let them know that you love them, that we love them, that we're concerned about them. And we talk about evangelizing the world to go into all the world and, you know, preach the gospel to every creature. But what we need to do is we need to evangelize our local area. A lot of people, even in the local area, that would love to know about Jesus. And occasionally, they'll ask some of our people, they'll say, can I come? They'll say, is Little Bethlehem open to me so that I can come also? And they would like to come out and be with us. You'd be surprised how many people would love to come to Little Bethlehem. It's becoming a beautiful thing, even to the people of Monroe, everywhere. And I will praise Him, my will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Can you worship the Lord? Let us give.